the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Happy Friday, guys.
Hey, Gabby. Happy Friday.
Yes. Good morning,
you
everyone.
You as well, Damian. Good
Ready
morning.
For the weekend?
I am.
Yes. Bring it on.
All right. Well, the weather will hold up for sure. And to get things started, let's ask the intercession of St. Teresa today to pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God of mercy, joy of the saints, you set the youthful heart of St. Teresa ablaze with the fire of virginal love for Christ and for his church, and even in suffering you made her a cheerful witness to charity. Through her intercession, fill us with the delights of your spirit, so that we may proclaim the word and deed, the joyful message of your love to the world. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Teresa.
Amen.
Teresa. Gabby,
Teresa,
how do you say
of the
her
Andes.
Name? Of Los Andes.
Well, it's the
Andes.
It's the
Andes.
Chilean
okay.
saint.
Yeah. Los Andes
yeah, yeah.
is the Andes.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Muy bien,
David. Yes, San Teresa. De Los Andes.
That's the way to say it. That's the way to say it.
Okay. You can tell
that
he didn't take Spanish.
Our
yeah, well, you're
Chilean
you're,
saint. I'm so excited. I look forward to this
is
every
not
year.
Quite
Los Andes.
Well,
how do you say it?
Hey, Los Andes.
I put a little Italian affliction.
Yeah, there's the problem. Yeah. Hey.
Let's get right on to today's
Please.
Show. We have a wonderful yes. lineup for you today. At 7 after, Carmel Acosta joins us. She's a director of Christian formation over at St. Jude the Apostle Parish in Baton Rouge. She is going to be talking about an upcoming retreat over at the Cenacle on the Lake in Metairie. So stay tuned for that. You can go to ccmedia.live to find out more information about this wonderful retreat. In 18 minutes, Dr. Diane Eckert joins us. She is the Associate Professor of Nursing over at Ave Maria University, and she is teaching a short course on the Pursuit of Wisdom, which is an online course. She's going to be focusing on Catholic bioethics, which is such a hot topic these days. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to speaking to Dr. Diane today a little bit more about this online course that you can participate in. In 35 minutes, Nicole Jones joins us. She is the digital media manager of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and she is going to be updating us on a lot of news happening in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. All good things. She just has a lot of things to talk about as we near the summer months. So looking forward to speaking to Nicole today. And in 48 minutes, we're taking it over to the Mississippi Gulf Coast and the Diocese of Biloxi with our good friend Terry Dixon. He has an update, and there's a lot of things happening as well. New priest assignments, a lot of festivals coming up that we want to give you details about. So looking forward to that conversation with Terry today. And Damian, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I'm going to take my bike outside this weekend and
Ooh,
have a nice bike ride with this weather. I'm looking forward to it. What do you have for us?
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic Friday as well as a fantastic weekend. Plenty of sunshine, light breeze out of north-northwest at about 5 to 10 miles an hour. No rain, high of 80, low of 51. Saturday, basically the same, a couple of degrees warmer, and the same holds true for Sunday. So it's going to be a blessed and beautiful weekend. Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight.
Not me, David.
No.
A few clouds. High is going to be in the mid-80s. And little or no rain in the forecast for the whole next week. So should be good 8 to 10 days.
Nice.
Meantime,
nice.
Temperatures in and around the area. 62 in New Orleans, 49 in Covington. And in Bay St. Louis, it's 54. And in Baton Rouge, it's 51. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
Good Friday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone.
Thank you, Father Chris. It is 8 after the hour on this Friday morning, and with us now in studio is Carmel Acosta, and she is Director of Christian Formation at St. Jude the Apostle Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, here to talk about a retreat that's coming up at the Cenacle.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm glad my 7-year-old got to come join us this morning.
Yeah,
enjoy the donuts.
Work. He's in the green room.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the Spiritual Direction Program that's a combination between FRANU and the Archdiocese of New Orleans. It's the first time Baton Rouge is having interns learn how to be spiritual directors.
Okay.
So, yes.
Nice.
So everyone that will be directing this retreat this summer, it'll be our second time doing this. We did it last summer. Is hopefully going to become a spiritual director.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, this is part of their formation, right?
Right, this is part of our formation.
Okay.
So it's a great retreat. I'm excited to be here and talk about it.
Well, good.
There's a need for that, too.
Yes.
This will be the one that's happening, is it June 28th through July 3rd?
Yes.
Okay. Share with us a little bit about how a spiritual directed retreat is different than, say, a silent retreat even.
Right. So I've never been on a totally silent retreat. This is mostly silent, but in this, so it's probably very similar, but a spiritually directed retreat is the main goal is for you to, you know, recognize God's presence in your life and grow closer to God in that time and then carry that, you know, through with you when you leave and to help others. And so you would meet with a spiritual director every full day that you're there.
Okay.
So we'll start on a Friday afternoon, which I think the time frame is great because you don't have to take the whole, you know, work week off. Half of the retreat is the weekend, and then you take some of the work week off if you're working outside of the home. But anyway, so that first night you would get to meet people, you can talk, you hear directions, and then I think after dinner is when we start the silence.
Okay.
But when you meet your spiritual director, that person will, the first night, just kind of communicate with you a little bit about how the retreat's going to go. But you would meet with that person every day, and you kind of pick the time frame, what's best for you, morning, you know, or afternoon. And they give you scripture to pray with, and they kind of tailor that based on what you're saying, you know, what you're bringing to them. And then the rest of the day is just you relaxing and spending time with the Lord outside or inside, and they have some optional things like confession and adoration and daily Mass. And
yes.
So it's a great experience.
How long do they normally meet with their spiritual director?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Is it 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 10 minutes?
It can be up to an hour. Wow. I would say most people, it's probably 45 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. The last day is usually a little shorter. You're wrapping up. But whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you bring to the tables. And I think it goes faster than you think. You know, you go in there and you're like, how am I going to talk for an hour? And then, you know, you just let the Holy Spirit work. And
yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing. When you go on a silent retreat, I go every year. I'm sure Dave's made his and Gabby as well. You feel like, man, what? How am I going to be quiet for this long? But you wind up getting in a conversation with God the entire time.
Great.
And you really, that's when you get to look inward instead of looking outward. And I'm sure the same holds true. That's where that spiritual director really kind of does a deep dive into your heart and soul and to try to figure out where God's really calling you in life, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, because for me, I think a lot of people, you go through the day, you're very busy, you know, helping your kids or your spouse, your coworkers. And I think it's hard to spend that time with God every day. And some of us do it, but I think you get to do it in a more deep way, you know, at the retreat center. And so
and you have more days to do it.
Exactly.
Because Damien, you know, the one you're growing on, the man Risa is 3 days. Mm-hmm. Right?
Roughly three.
And this is like 5
days. It's 5 full days. It's almost a week. Right. So
and you need that time because the first day you're unwinding.
You're right.
And you're just kind of getting your bearings straight.
Yeah.
So what are the details? How if they were to go register, where do they go? How much?
Sounds good.
You have that handy?
Yeah, I have some of that information. So registration is on the Archdiocese Spiritual Center website. And if you just kind of put that in the computer, it'll pop up. And it's on Catholic Community Radio, I think, on your, I guess, on your calendar.
Yes. Yeah, we have it on our events calendar.
Thank you, Gabby. I think the price is around $600. It is a single room, since it's a silent retreat, you know. Anyone who wants to donate to help defer costs, that would be great. I know we have 2 donors already, which has been wonderful because, you know, the costs do add up when you're a single room and it's that long of a period. The meals are wonderful.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about anything while you're there except for spending time with the Lord.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
That's right. And accommodations are great.
Accommodations are lovely. It'll be my 3rd time there. So,
and have you made a director retreat already?
Yes.
Okay.
So, being in the program, you're required to make your own directed retreat as a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the first time I did that was when my 7-year-old was 4, 3 years ago. And that was hard for me give up the control of, I haven't been away from my 4-year-old, you know, for a whole week before. But it was really good because.
Great.
You know, you have disordered attachments even to, you know, things that are good. And you need to kind of release that and let others help.
So highly recommend it.
Yeah, highly recommend it.
All right. Carmela Costa, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
She's Director of Christian Formation at St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, my home parish. And so glad to have you with us this morning on Wake Up.
Okay. All right.
It's 15 after. We're coming back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 12th. Today we celebrate St. Teresa of Los Andes. One needn't live a long life to leave a deep imprint. Teresa of Los Andes is proof of that. As a young girl growing up in Santiago, Chile in the early 1900s, she read an autobiography of a French-born saint, Thérèse, popularly known as the Little Flower. The experience deepened her desire to serve God and clarified the path she would follow. At age 19, she became a Carmelite nun, taking the name of Teresa. The convent offered the simple lifestyle Teresa desired and the joy of living in a community of women completely devoted to God. She focused her days on prayer and sacrifice. "I am God's," she wrote in her diary. Toward the end of her short life, Teresa began an apostolate of letter writing, sharing her thoughts on the spiritual life with many people. At age 20, she contracted typhus and quickly took her final vows. She died a short time later during Holy Week. Teresa remains popular with the estimated 100,000 pilgrims who visit her shrine in Los Andes each year. She is Chile's first saint. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. Real quick, I wanted to make a correction. I think I said Santa Teresa. It's Santa. Oh my gosh.
Santa?
I didn't even get my pronouns
female,
correct.
Yeah.
Yes. So I did want to make that correction because in my head I cannot like continue on with my day unless that correction has been made. So Santa Teresa.
Santa.
Los Andes.
Or as they said in Franciscan Franciscan.
Oh,
that they just said Saint Teresa, so
that's,
you know,
keep it English, we're safe.
Yeah, you're okay that way, Gabby.
Oh my gosh, anyway, yeah. Go ahead, David. I had to make that correction real
well,
quick.
Thank you, Gabby. All right,
yeah. How do you say doctor, doctor in Spanish, or
if it's a male,
try.
It's doctor or doctora, medico, doctor? Medica.
Yeah. Okay, because that's who we have coming
masculine?
Up next.
Yes, well, I'm doing it in English, by the way. And
yeah,
we are joined.
Let's keep it safe.
Please. We are joined by Dr. Diane Eckert. She's the Associate Professor of Nursing at Ave Maria University. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Well,
please call me Diane.
Diane? Okay, we will. I will do that. So I appreciate you joining us this morning. And our topic today, you have, it's like an online course, if I'm not mistaken, The Pursuit of Wisdom, and it covers a lot of topics, and your area is Catholic bioethics. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Okay. That's wonderful because you have quite the broad brushstroke with Catholic bioethics, and it's something that I think is sorely needed because from what I gathered from the review that I was doing on this, it's all about compassion and how we are treating people in the medical profession. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Talk about that.
So I think what we're trying to pop out for our listeners in the Pursuit of Wisdom courses is the essential, well, the long history of Catholicism and with outreach and ministry to the sick and to the poor and the vulnerable, and the importance of being called by Christ to minister to those who need help in injury and vulnerability. Okay. And that ministry has been an important part of our Christian faith tradition. And more than ever, we need to remember those compassionate, virtuous components of healthcare delivery and remind people that we're not just bodies.
Yeah.
We're not just a commodity of someone that can make money for insurance companies, but we're human beings that require that spiritual care as well as the physical competent care that nurses and doctors and all healthcare providers seek to provide for those who are in need. I don't know one healthcare provider that didn't go into the profession because they because they're passionate to help the sick and to help people through their vulnerabilities.
Well, I can tell you this really hits home for me because I've experienced other folks who were in the hospital in a lot of situations, and I was really taken aback because what you are describing here is compassion, and I got to be honest with you, I did not see that. I saw it looked like a treating as a commodity, as, okay, we're done with this person here, there's nothing more we can do, let's send them on their way. It broke my heart to see how a lot of folks are treated. Are you seeing that trend a lot more in the medical profession as far as lack of compassion?
So that's an interesting question because I remember when I first became a nurse and I first started to work in the healthcare arena, having very good role models who provided that compassion, who taught us that compassion.
Okay.
And even then we saw people who treated people like they were nothing, so to speak,
yes,
or that they
yes.
were just a job to be, a paycheck to be collected as doing their work life in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said since the beginning of time, if I ever act like a non-compassionate healthcare provider, then I hope that I realize that I'm acting that way so I can go work at a department store and hand out stickers at the front door.
Exactly.
And check people out of a cash register, checking line. Not be in the field of reaching people in their most vulnerable of times. So I think it's something that we've always have seen. Maybe today we're seeing it a little bit more, and I contribute a lot of that processing of how we deliver healthcare. It's changed. we no longer have a clipboard and a chart with a pen and a pencil where we're writing down our notes. Mm-hmm. We have computers that kind of interfere or block our ability to really relate one-on-one with patients, look them in the eye, and sit with them in their most difficult moments.
Yeah.
I call it the competing priorities. The competing priorities of the healthcare delivery system is increasingly becoming more technical.
Yeah.
And our care of human beings is not it's not a technical computerized endeavor. And when it becomes that, it's easy to see people as commodities. We're scanning people's bracelets to give medication. We're scanning the medication, we're scanning the bracelet, we're documenting into a computer.
Right.
And all of those obstructions of technology really interfere our ability to connect with human lives one-on-one.
Yeah, it's actually keeping you from having a dialogue with the patient themselves, or just talking with them.
Well, and seeing that the number one job right now is nurse practitioners, how is Ave Maria University preparing those who want to enter the medical field and this growing job market with kind of infusing bioethics in there and the dignity of the human person?
So Ave Maria has a very unique position that we have a core curriculum for our entry-level BSN nursing students.
Okay.
We do not have a nurse practitioner program, and that's a different issue. But how do we prepare undergraduate BSN entry-level RNs? All nursing students are required to be part of the core curriculum at Ave Maria, which includes moral theology and philosophy courses and the importance and dignity of human life. And what does it truly mean to be human made in the image and likeness of God? And the respect of God's call and creation to be participants in the care of human life. So our students have a wonderful foundation before they enter into their junior and senior year into the nursing program. And in their nursing program, we're striving to integrate ethics into each of the classroom scenarios in the particular nature of, say, maternal child health or pediatrics or adult health with acute problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a Catholic bioethics program requirement for all nursing students. And many of the other science-bound students who are seeking to become physician assistants or physicians in graduate school education are also welcome to join in that class. We're constantly striving to instill those virtues and values. And then, of course, we have the Mother Teresa Project on campus that students can volunteer and participate in. And we really do try to model our care of persons through the teachings of Mother Teresa, St. Pope John Paul II. And so it is a beautiful community in a way in which we are striving to grow the next generation of Catholic nurses.
Let's talk about the courses, the Pursuit of Wisdom courses. Is it open for everyone?
So the Pursuit of Wisdom courses, it is open for everyone.
Okay.
It was a series of courses of many of the professors at Ave Maria University.
Mm-hmm.
So there are Pursuit of Wisdom courses that I participated in for beginning of life issues, end of life issues, and general historical perspective of where nursing grew
mm-hmm.
in the monastic lives of the saints since the first and second century after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection.
Okay.
It's what set Christians apart from the rest of the world because they took seriously the call of Christ to go take care of those who were sick and lost and vulnerable. Then the other Pursuit of Wisdom courses are provided by some of our other faculty at Ave Maria University, on government, on citizenship, on the essentials of motherhood, and elements of philosophy and the other sciences. So we have a whole entire series. Anyone can sign up for the Pursuit of Wisdom courses by just signing up with their email, creating a password to enter into the courses, and then viewing and watching the course series in their own free time.
It is beautiful because I did see a few little intros to it, little videos and such, talking about the pursuit of wisdom. And what I love about it is, like, we are bombarded with knowledge, but not so much the wisdom part. And I think that is so necessary. I'm looking at, and see if I get this right, Diane, it's thepursuitofwisdom.org. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Wow, this is lacking, and this is absolutely necessary. Dr. Diane Acrett, thank you so much for joining us. Blessings on this, and I hope it's very, very successful.
God bless you, and thank you for having me on the show.
All right, thank you. Thank you. This is something that I've witnessed at least three times during the COVID years and everything, and I got to tell you, it's tough to see just this lack of compassion, and somebody's trying to bring that back.
Yeah,
I think
I'm
that's
glad
beautiful.
That it's open to everyone.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, we come back. We're going to be talking to Nicole Jones. Gabby's going to be talking to her about what's going on the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It's the bottom of the hour on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on this beautiful Friday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Nicole Jones is our next guest. Oh my goodness. She's a digital media manager in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and she has a lot of things to update us about. Hey, Nicole, happy Friday. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, y'all. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. It
we
is Friday.
We are doing great. Yes. And there's so many things happening in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And let's get started. This one is so cool. The Reverence on the River Eucharistic Procession. Give us details about this one. We just love, like, river Eucharistic processions.
Yeah.
We're all about those.
Oh, yeah. And it's crazy. Within the next week alone, if you're in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, if you're a part of one of our 64 parishes, there is something for you to do. That's what I've learned, having to promote all of these events and just hear about all of the events. But I think one of the coolest events taking place next week is Reverence on the River. So basically right now, I think they have over 50 boats that are registered to be in a Eucharistic procession on the Diversion Canal.
Okay.
Through Livingston and Ascension Parish next week, Saturday, April 20th. From 10 to 11:30. And so Father Matt Lorraine, Father Jason Palermo, Deacon Michael Parker are all different clergy organizers, and they have different sponsors from those parishes that are helping out to make all of this happen. You can either be on your boat following the procession, or there are different like physical locations on land that you can go and watch pass. So it's really cool. I'm really excited to see just how many people show up and just how many boats are in this procession, because it's so cool. And it's such a big part of the Ascension and Livingston Parish community. You know, like, boating is a way of life there. And so the fact that Jesus is not just going to be in a church, but he's going to be on the water is going to be really cool to see.
I can imagine some of these folks on party barges and everything that aren't aware of this, you know, are suddenly going to be out there and see this coming up, Diversion Canal. Yeah, I can. That is.
Is there a map, Nicole, of
that'll be evangelization,
where we can participate on land?
Yes.
Is there a map?
So it's on the diocesan website, but they also have their own Facebook page. It's the Reverence on the River, a Eucharistic Boat Procession. That's their Facebook page. And so they have all the information there about where it's going to be. And I'm pretty sure these are also the people who are in charge of the Eucharistic revival passport, like the adoration passport that's going on in our diocese. There's a little passport where all the little chapels that you could go to, the Eucharistic adoration chapels, and check off that you were there. And so, yeah, I think if you go on their Facebook page, and then also they have on the diocesan website, we have the flyer there as well.
Nice.
Very cool. I love it. There's always another new Eucharistic boat procession that's taking place. The fun never stops in South Louisiana when it comes to Eucharistic boat processions, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger, and we can't wait to tell you a little bit more about that as time goes on. But Nicole, let's continue on. Dan Burke is coming to our area. He's joined us on Wake Up before to talk about spiritual attacks, spiritual formation. Tell us about where he's going to be coming up in the diocese.
Yeah, so Dan Berg, if you don't know, he's the president and founder of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation, and he's written a lot of books about Catholic spirituality. And so he is going to be in the diocese 2 days next week giving presentations. The first one on April 16th at Sacred Heart. It's going to be on the interior life through the lens of St. Teresa of Avila, a personal favorite of mine. And it's following 6 p.m. Mass. And it's free and open to the public. And then on Saturday, the 20th, if you want to do some good stuff in the diocese, the 20th is your day to do
apparently,
it,
yeah.
From what I've gathered. At St. Agnes, the talk is entitled Setting Captives Free, Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits. And it's from 9:30 to 12:45, and the cost is $29 per person. And so if you're looking to find more information about that, you go to the diocesan website, or you could also just register at the website, which is spiritualdirection.com/events.
Very cool. And Faithful Citizenship Day is coming up. And we discussed this a little bit for those who didn't really hear that interview with Tom Costanza the other day. Nicole's here to kind of update you on. This is a really important day to kind of gain some knowledge on what it means to truly incorporate our faith, but also learn a little bit more about politics along the way. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops is going to be hosting Faithful Citizenship Day at the Louisiana State Capitol and the cathedral. They're very close to one another, so those parts of town, downtown in Baton Rouge, on April 17th. And so the goal of this day is to continue to educate and engage Catholics on Catholic social teaching and legislation. And of course, there are a lot of bills right now that deal with a lot of Catholic social teaching issues. And so it's a full day. There's going to be masses at the cathedral. There are going to be meetings with legislators, committee hearings, and people are invited to just come. If you can't come for the whole thing, you can come for some of it, and you can register for it on the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops website.
Very cool. Okay, Nicole, you and I talk about how much we love social media, and yes, it can be used for good, although we talk about the harmful effects of social media. Let's talk about the good parts, and that is your Easter social posts that you've been doing. Talk about how you're utilizing social media and the rest of the Easter season to evangelize.
So I guess it all starts with Rite of Election. I was at Rite of Election taking pictures, and the people that were in that room and in the cathedral that were going there to say, I am going to become Catholic at Easter Vigil, they were just on fire. And so I had this idea while I was there to just meet with a few priests, meet with a few DREs, and just ask, hey, do you have anyone in your RCIA class that you think would have a cool story to share about why they're becoming Catholic? And man, did they deliver. I have met with, I think, seven groupings of people, but I have two husbands and wives. So, I mean, almost basically like 10 people over the past few weeks, and I'm editing videos right now. But there are just some awesome stories about people coming into the church. And so the theme of the series is called An Easter People, and it comes from John Paul II's Angelus that he gave in the 80s, that is, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Yes. And how beautiful is that, that we have so many people who are really diving into what it means to be an Easter people. And so throughout the Easter season, because Easter is longer than just a day or a week, you know, Easter is a whole 50 days.
50 days.
It's longer than the season of Lent. And so the fact that I have stories to share that are going to last that long, of people who have come into the church, people who have stories, testimonies, and why they're choosing the Catholic faith. And I mean, we have Protestant, ex-Protestant ministers, children of Protestant ministers. Wow. We have husband and wives, a mom who just wanted to become Catholic because her son is in First Communion, and she was like, I want what he has.
Wow.
You know, crazy stories like that of, oh yeah, it's so awesome to be able to be present and to hear those stories and be able to share those stories. And so if you're interested in listening to any of these, seeing any of these, you can go on the diocesan Facebook or Instagram. It's DiocesBR. That's our handle. But they're just incredible stories, awesome testimonies and witnesses. And one question that I asked at the very end is like, what would you tell people that are questioning becoming Catholic? And their answers are just,
I bet.
I was brought to tears multiple times throughout these interviews, just because they're so on fire.
Nice.
Wow. We love it. We love it. We love hearing about conversion stories, and they're so inspiring to us, even for all those who are cradle Catholics, like many of us, and those who are converting, questioning. You never know who's listening. But Nicole, thank you so much for giving us those updates. Where can we find all of this information that we discussed today?
Yeah, so the diocesan website, diobr.org, is always a place to find anything that's going on in the diocese. We have a, on our homepage, there's local news, like what's going on in the diocese, and there are events on the homepage as well. So, and I am very in touch with a lot of different parishes in our diocese. So, you know, they're sending me stuff, I'm putting them up. That's a great place. And of course, our social media as well.
Definitely. Nicole does a great job on the social media for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Thank you so much, Nicole Jones, Digital Media Manager of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. We appreciate your joining us today, and have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good Friday.
All right.
You too. Oh, man.
I love those stories. We take for granted. I mean, I was born and raised Catholic, and every now and then it takes somebody on the outside to say, look what you got going on here, you know?
Yes.
And it makes you really appreciate your faith all the more.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, stay with us. Terry Dixon joins us when we return from the break. He'll be updating us on what's taking place in the Diocese of Biloxi. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
It's almost 12 before the top of the hour, and welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and our good friend Terry Dixon, Director of Communications of the Diocese of Biloxi, editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper there. Good morning, T-Boy.
Good morning. How goes it?
It goes good. How about you?
Doing well, doing well. Happy Friday to everybody.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Yes. All right. Well, let's... jump right into the newest edition here. One of the key stories is former pastor at St. Rose de Lima Parish in Bay St. Louis has written a book. Is that Father Sebastian?
That is Father Sebastian. Father Sebastian is a prolific writer, and he's a well-loved priest here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. He was the pastor of St. Rose de Lima Parish in Bay St. Louis during Hurricane Katrina. Mm. He guided that parish in its Katrina reconstruction or renewal, if you will. And now he's written a book called Why We Pray What We Pray, which is described as a spiritual journey of prayer, silence, and aspiration, in which he examines the prayers Christians hold dear and recite in times of worship, gratitude, contrition, and in despair.
So he does a deep dive into individual type prayers that we pray pretty regularly, right?
It is a deep dive. He looks deeply at the Lord's Prayer, Hail Mary, the Way of the Cross, the Rosary, the Mass, Lectio Divina. I'm looking forward to reading it myself. I haven't found a copy of it yet, but I'm going to get a copy of it. And that's going to be part of my reading coming up.
Okay. And what else will we find in this issue?
Well, listen, tomorrow evening, St. Mary Parish in Goshen is having their third annual Indian dinner. That's going to be at 6 o'clock at the Activity Center, which is located at 809 De La Pointe Drive in Goshen. And the meal will be prepared by the pastor, Father Arokia Das, who is a native of India. And he is going to be helped by the people who have just opened a new restaurant in Ocean Springs called Highway to India, which I checked out the other evening with Father Arokia. And that's at 1408 Bienville Boulevard in Ocean Springs. But they're going to be helping out. And the cost is $20 for adults, $15 for kids under 12. So, again, that's tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Goshen, 809 De La Pointe Drive.
Indian food. Nice.
Yeah.
Some of it's really spicy.
I'm sure this will be as well. And there's also another event taking place at St. Anne Church Parish.
St. Anne has a diocesan shrine to the Holy Infant of Good Health, and every year they have a triduum of masses and prayers. This year it'll be April 17th, 18th, and 19th. Adoration each evening at 6 o'clock, Mass at 7 p.m. The big Holy Infant Feast Day celebration will take place April 21st with musicians, the rosary, a procession, and mass at 2 p.m., celebrated by Bishop Louis F. Kitteman III, Bishop of Biloxi.
Okay. And the Holy Infant of Good Health, I'm not really that familiar with that shrine. I didn't even know there was a shrine for it. Can you elaborate a little bit more, Terry?
Well, I can recommend that you Google it, because I don't have that information in front of me here.
Right, okay.
I wouldn't want to mislead you, Nathan.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm sure you prayed to the Holy Infant of Good Health for good health or those who might be sick. So I am going to look into it. Mm-hmm. That's something that I've not heard of before.
They do have a nice website. I'll tell you everything you know.
All right.
Okay. If you've never been to St. Anne's in Lakeshore, Claremont Harbor, uh-huh. It's really nice. It's not too far from Bay St. Louis, so
all right.
Check it out.
It sounds good. And then there is a Seder Supper that is going to be taking place, and that's always a good event to attend. Mm-hmm. You'll learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That'll take place April 22nd at St. James Parish in Gulfport, beginning at 6 p.m., and the ticket price is $25 per person.
All right.
So
this time of year where priests are being reassigned, share with us what you know in regards to that right now in the Diocese of Biloxi.
Well, this is the time of the year when priests are being reassigned, and we have several who are going to be moving to different locations this summer. There's a complete list in the Gulf Pine this week. I could tell you that one of our beloved pastors, Father Ken Ramon Landry, is retiring as pastor of Sacred Heart Parish in Hattiesburg. And Father Sergio Valderas, who is currently the pastor of St. Elizabeth Seton Parish in Ocean Springs, will be taking Father Ken's place in June. Mm. And Father Jay Jonathan, who is currently the parochial vicar at St. Charles Borromeo Parish in Picayune, will be taking Father Sergio's place. And there are several other assignments in the paper. We have Father James Smith, who's going to be the chaplain to Memorial Hospital in Gulfport and continue as the chaplain to the Delapay Deaf Center and to our Tabitha ministry here in the Diocese of Biloxi. That'll also take place this summer.
Not that you're a priest, but you're not going anywhere, right?
He is not reassigned.
Not that I know of. Okay. You never know.
All right. Last but not least, a Women's Day event of reflection coming up in a couple weeks, huh?
This is true. This is going to take place on April 27th. That's Saturday, April 27th, from 8 to noon at Sacred Heart. At St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Hattiesburg. And it'll be led by Father Mike O'Connor and Deacon Calvin Othman.
Father Mike O'Connor, that's a good one.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, good. Terry, anything else you want to share with us before you take off for the beach?
Damien, you might like this.
Okay.
That's what I hear. There's a bourbon and wine tasting at Our Lady of Victory Parish in Pascagoula on April 27th. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Resurrection Catholic School cafeteria. Heavy hors d'oeuvres, your favorite. Tickets $35 per person and $60 a couple.
That's a good price.
And where is this again? Repeat that so I can put it down on my Google Maps.
Our Lady of Victories Parish, Pascagoula, is hosting this, and it'll take place in the high school cafeteria, which is directly behind Our Lady of Victories Catholic Church.
Beautiful. Go. All right, T-Boy. Well, thank you, as always, for being with us, and we'll check in with you in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, you have yourself a wonderful weekend. It's going to be a beauty.
All right.
I think he took off already.
Yeah,
that's Terry Gibson.
I think so.
Editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper in the Diocese of Biloxi. So thank you for being with us, Terry.
Yeah.
All right. He's trying to say goodbye.
The phone is acting up.
Yeah. Just driving him crazy. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for this week and today. And we hope you all will have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being with us each and every day. We wrap up with a prayer from St. Teresa. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O my Jesus and my Mother Mary, may I belong to him forever. May nothing on earth claim my attention but the tabernacle. Preserve me pure for yourself so that when I die, I can say how happy I am now that at last I can lose myself in the infinite ocean of the heart of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Alan Migliorato joins us from AdventureCatholic.com. He'll talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. Thomas Jacoby, editor of Ignatius Press, will talk about Christian obedience and what that means. And Claudia McAdam has another new children's book, this one on Mother Cabrini. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and Karen Cotton, our video technical director, for some great shows this week, especially today. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Is a production of Catholic Community Media.